Welcome to Shocktober, a deep dive into shock jocks. I am Murder Brian, and this week, you know, we got Chris the Cunt. Hi, Chris.
Keep behind the paywall, everyone. Remember, we keep that name behind the paywall. We don't discuss it. Some people have been discussing it, you know, in public on my Twitter feed. We do not want that at all. But yeah, very excited for this Opie and Lionel episode that we're doing.
We're not doing any Lionel, but we got to get our guest in, and Mike might be here later.
Yeah, Mike is Mike. Mike, I mean, we didn't kick him out. He hasn't been replaced by any means. We're planning to have, you know, a guest on as well as Mike, and Mike still might join us.
And we have John Gabris. What's up, John?
What's up? Happy Shocktober to you and yours, guys.
Last year, we had you on to do Bubba, and you were like an Opie and Anthony fan. It was kind of stupid. But this year, well, rest in peace, Anthony Cumia.
Anthony Cumia, of course, died recently of a massive heart attack, and he is now under the ground and dead. And everyone's like really sad about it. You can't hear it in my voice, but yeah, I'm all sad and shit about it. Opie, of course, and he's been replaced, of course, by Lionel.
Yes, Lionel.
Lionel John is a guy we went to look in last week at Anthony's, you know, Compound Media show. And of course, because he's died in the hospital, he's not hosting. And instead, he has this guy who's just named Lionel, who like used to be on InfoWars or something.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So this is like a Hillary Clinton situation. Like Anthony's dead, but he's going to be they're like working on the clone so that they can keep Compound Media, that lucrative business idea.
They
don't want to drop shut off the money faucet.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely racking in I think they've got about six or seven shows on there. And I heard that one of the hosts makes upwards of $50 a week hosting. So, yeah, I think it's doing pretty well.
Well, we were going to. OK, so we were going to start with something. But can I just we can just start off. Well, no, let's do it the way we were going to do it. I have a clip of Opie, because that's who we're looking at. I'm trying to find out who's co-hosting Anthony's show today as we record this. Who is the host?
I looked it up. It was two guys. I didn't know their names.
Reginald Denny and...
Oh, he's doing great over there. He's really... here's the thing. He is still posting racism over on his Twitter, but he also... if you go look at his Twitter, he has a picture of the HBO, like the Fuzz HBO thing. He like posted a picture of that, and it's like a grandpa post where it's like, you know, when you see this, you're about to got yourself. It says, it doesn't matter what you're watching after this screen, you absolutely expect to hear got yourself a gun. And it's like, what are you, somebody's aunt?
Yeah, that's a great post though, to just like sprinkle in the middle of this like obscene racism, just like throw that little nugget in there. And by the way, we have discussed this. He is of course posting, but so did Herman Cain. So don't all of my detractors who say that's proof that he's alive. Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's not proof of life. I'm sorry. I have to see him on his show.
And I have to see
out loud.
Or just see him, period. Like, you know, I haven't seen any photo of him or anything like that. People have talked about him and said that, oh, he's looking great, but I don't believe it.
Wait, you're telling me racists watch The Sopranos?
It's crazy. I know. It is wild.
But it's so weird. The show is like a commentary on racism, and maybe they are just not getting it. Who knows?
Maybe, yeah.
Stupid as. So stupid. You know what? It's funny because I have a clip of Opie talking about how stupid Anthony is. And I'm like, come on, dude. You don't get to do it because you're more stupid than
Opie.
Yeah, you are on a show. You're like one of the only people that can sort of like, we can demonstrate that you're stupid because you're on a show with him for so long and constantly came out looking more dumb than him and somehow also less likable, which we bring this up all the time, but is truly shocking how terrible you have to be less likable than a racist guy who's also been accused of being a pedophile, and still people are like, yeah, no, we're gonna take his side over you, Opie. That's how much we hate you.
Yeah, it's great. And oh, before we move, also Jim Norton got married.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. I actually, do you know where I heard that?
Where?
I heard that when I was listening to one of Opie's walk around New York streams the other day. Somebody mentioned it. I listened to two of those in their entirety.
Oof. What is your... It is crazy that you think Opie could have at least done the spin of like, well, I'm not Anthony in the aftermath, and he couldn't even swing that. Like,
no.
I, as a fan from back in the day, it's like, oh yeah, Anthony's way funnier. Then Anthony goes down this dark path. You're like, well, maybe Opie. No, okay, never mind. I got. Okay, yeah. Maybe it's Jim. I guess it is Jim.
Yeah, I guess it was always Jim the whole time.
Yeah. Jim married. This is a real, like, you get. This is a real, like, you reap what you sow thing, because Jim married a trans woman, and his fans are, you know, not handling it great. Even though...
Yeah,
what about Jim's comedy history? Anything would lead you to believe he might not marry a trans
woman? I mean, exactly. When he got married, I definitely assumed it was to a trans woman. I mean, it's mostly what he talks about.
I don't know much about what Norton's into, but I do know one specific thing is that he likes trans women
and getting shit on.
But
piss. I think it's more piss. It's not.
Oh, I think it's also shit. I'm not joking. I think he talks quite openly about liking to get shit on. I'm not even kidding.
That's like the one thing that's never could wrap my head around. You know?
Yeah, I mean? No.
Like, and I'm not here to kink shame anyone, but that's just the one I can never even get.
Oh, that smells too nasty. And Brian, you don't don't tell the toilet thing, Brian. You tell this on stream, and it actually makes people. Someone said they gagged when you said one part of this.
I threw up when I saw it.
Yeah, so don't mention it. Brian just knows of this toilet contraption, and the way he don't want to hear his description.
I don't know of it. Like, it's not my contraption.
It was the thing I worked on. I have a patent for it.
Yeah, you had some work in the design of it, you're saying?
No. This is a remember when somebody would hand you, like, a lady at work handed my friend a videotape of the nastiest porno you've ever seen in your life. And every once in a while, we'd pop it in while we were partying and stuff, and it would make us throw up. And it was like a whole fun thing we would do while we were hanging out.
I see.
There were several things. But here's great Opie contributions. Chris sent me this. We get to look at some.
Yeah, this is it. This is back in the day, just to give a little taste of sort of Opie's like contributions. Because, hey, listen, he's fallen quite far. We're going to get to what he's doing current day. But, hey, he was on one of the biggest shows in radio, and here he is, his contributions.
Right.
What was your the what milk is your guys dark YouTube? Chalk?
What
I was asking, what is your guys' algorithm like on YouTube?
You can see it.
Oh, yeah, I know. Brian's is terrible. Mine is worse because I do pranks to like these conservatives. So mine is just like outrageous. Yeah. It depends on what you. I have different accounts at least. Though.
Mine is all wrestling, and I just use the same account for everything. So mine is all either wrestling or shock jocks. That's the two things.
Well, sex club stuff. I mean, there's a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. We do have the swingers club stuff that shows up because of the stream. Yeah.
Because of your upside down pineapple tattoo you have?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I don't have that, actually. Chris has upside down pineapple bed, though.
Well, I do. That was a mistake, and I didn't realize it. Also, I put the right side, meant to be right side up. My girlfriend put them on the wrong way, so that's on her. And also, I do want to say, Brian,
it's
is
her
Brian,
idea,
is that?
Then.
Oh, no, she's pregnant. We're not.
Okay. Backing up.
But I just want to say, Brian, that you could. Was that painful when you got the upside down pineapple tattoo?
I don't have any tattoos.
You got it removed.
Yeah. No, I've never had it.
Yeah, it's such a quick change of heart. You got it. Got it removed a week later.
No, I didn't. All right, here's some Opie contributions here.
Chocolate goodness topped with chocolate chips.
I gotta tell you, I'm a dark chocolate kind of guy. Wink, wink.
I'm a huge fan. What percent, though?
What?
What percent?
What do you mean?
Well, the dark chocolate has all sorts of percents now. You go 70% dark, you go 80% dark.
Oh, I have no idea. I like.
Oh, whoa. My gosh. Man. So that's an example of just what was a big issue with him, I guess, is that he wouldn't often understand the jokes and stuff and be able to sort of play along with them. So usually he'd just like go to the phones or do whatever, but this is an example of him trying to get in there, you know?
And it's usually enough for like a radio show that has like bits and funny people on as guests. Like you could just be like a sort of MC and kind of host it and run through it. But
but I guess he would hear sometimes the, you know, because he would hear like the on the instant feedback and stuff. They had that going. So I think people would be giving it to him a lot. And like, you know, in the comments and online and stuff about just like saying he doesn't do anything. So every now and then he's like, all right, Greg, today you're going to fucking get in there and you're going to make them all laugh. And it just never happened. Not even once.
Do you think, I mean, it can't be really fun for the common belief of your show is that, yeah, man, this guy can move knobs like crazy. Yeah. Right. Like, when you look back on it now, he had a soundboard, but it had all the same clips as Anthony. So, like, Anthony was usually using the soundboard, and then Opie would be like, let me throw one back, and he would just, like, kind of play the same clip. So, like, he really, people would say, the common belief we all know is that Opie knew how to do radio and how to direct traffic, and Anthony was just pure funny, but Opie does not know how to direct traffic at all. The more I listen to these guys, the more I'm like, he doesn't, first of all, that's not a skill. Secondly, he doesn't do it well. I mean, in the middle of a riff, when he picks up the phone and it's the least funny truck driver to ever live. And it just kills the
riff.
That's
a famous thing he does. Definitely. All the time.
But I would say it's the thing about the straight man generally doesn't want to be known as the straight man. You know what I mean?
It's funny though, because you can make as much money as your funny partner being the straight man forever. But it's so funny the moment you pull the show away from these guys and how like all of their flaws are just absolutely on display. You're like,
yes, totally. You're like,
and also like directing traffic and producing radio is so not the job of it doesn't even have to be the job of the host anymore. And also I think what we liked about ONA back in the day and Howard, it was like proto podcasting. They were being themselves. They had like inside jokes and stuff and they would react. And so it was cool. And like, it was okay when it was a little loose, but now that there are like actual funny people doing it, it's so humbling to be like,
well, I've said before, John, that my feeling is that there was this idea where you needed somebody that was a little bit more serious to direct the traffic a bit. And then when podcasts started coming out with like, you know, two psychos like that are just guys that just throw stuff back and forth, you're like, wait a minute. No, the person that directs the traffic can also be funny.
Right. Yeah. It's an overlapping skill set. The person who has the equipment and it can also be funny.
Get somebody who has microphones and like a little bit of comedic timing. Yeah, that's possible in this day and age because microphones aren't that expensive or are hard to buy. You can buy them on Amazon. They'll deliver them same day. Sometimes they just show up at your house same day. John, I'm curious. I don't know how much we covered it last year, but like, so when you listened to Opie and Anthony as a kid or as like,
as a kid so into like, a teen, like in the 90s.
So what age did you start? What, like how old were you when you started listening to Opie and Anthony?
Bro, I can remember like as early as like the mid 90s. So 12 or 13 years old.
Like you're really just learning the world and things that are going on. And you're picking up a lot of it from Greg Opie and Anthony Cuia.
I may have spoken about this last year, but my dad worked evenings. So he left for work at 1:30 p.m. every day. And he would do like errands around the house, which is perfect for if you're trying not to see your dad at all, which eventually that was true for me. But when he was home in the summer or on the weekends, he would listen to throughout the morning, he would listen to Howard, Opie and Anthony, Imus, and Mike and the Mad Dog. So I would get like 4 to 6 hours of talk radio every day, all raunchy, all disgusting, all like way too adult. And my dad would put it on his boombox and carry it throughout the house, depending on like what errands or workout or like fixing or cooking he had to do. So he would just like move the boombox throughout the house. He'd just be in the garage, like hitting the heavy bag, and you know, and it's like ba ba booey. And then he would be like moving to the back, and it's Imus being pseudo racist in the yard as he fucking lawn mows or whatever. We never got my dad headphones because we were young and wanted to hear it. But in hindsight, that was like, I accidentally ended up becoming like a raunchy podcaster in my late 30s. So it's like, it feels as though I accidentally am like built for this bullshit, which is
Did you have a favorite? Like, was Opie and Anthony your favorite then? Or did you even really like
Opie and Anthony were my favorite. And whenever Patrice was on was just like the absolute best. Like I always just loved those comics that Opie and Anthony shuffled around. That's how I ended up being like, again, I have a long list of people I'm no longer fans of, but like Bill Maher got me with Politically Incorrect because he would have all the same people on that I love, like Geraldo and Patrice and all. And so I would always be into these. Now in like
you're a big history, Maher head.
History has not been kind to like the seven people who I looked up to in the early 90s.
I like
Chris
Bill
Maher.
Benoit. Oh no! Oh, and you got that. I know you were a big Jared Fogle fan.
I know. I was a big Subway guy. Just based on spokes. Person.
Good lord.
Well, yeah, I fucking love K-Pax.
Look, I was the same way. Like anybody that did Opie and Anthony, I think there's some exceptions of guys. Like there was the Sean Rouse or Twiddles. Twiddles, I didn't. I was not. Do you remember Twiddles? He was the guy with Tourette's, and they would just have him on as a comedian, and you'd be like, "This is some of the least funny shit."
I remember him. He would do stuff with like Bobo and stuff like that sometimes. Right, yes, and it was just, I remember I think he went on the David and Bobo show. They had a episode of the David and Bobo show, intern David. He ruined it. I used to love listening to David and Bobo, and that one is unlistenable to me because of how unfunny Twiddles. And
people are going to think we're saying that he had the tics, is what he didn't do tics really on the radio.
That's not the annoying part. Yeah.
Yeah. He was a comedian that wasn't funny.
It wasn't annoying. Like it was actually, you were like happy when things would like vocally would happen. It was like a little bit different. And you're like, oh, okay. He's like stuttering a little bit now. Something's happening. Otherwise he's just saying unfunny jokes and bombing.
TJ Miller was another one that I was like, I could do without TJ Miller.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a dude I met that guy when we were both 18 at like a comedy festival at Skidmore College. And he was insanely magnetic and magnetically insane even then. Like he was just like, I met him in a basement. He was throwing glass at a college kid's house, just throwing glass against the wall saying he was on acid and he was making a glass garden. And well, I couldn't tell if he was serious or not, but I was just like, I'm going to get some distance from this guy. And I've had to do that 4 more times in my life.
He's also like, the reason they had TJ Miller on is because he was in Cloverfield, which then pushed him up to another level of celebrity. And these guys love celebrity, you know?
Dude, one of the weirdest things about all of these like hardcore comedy podcaster guys, and even going back to these like talk radio guys who are all up their own ass about being smart and being witty and tough, they all love fucking celebrities. They all just fucking lose it for like potentially getting one more person to join their Patreon. They're just like, yes, I have, you know, this awful comic on, but he is famous. So hopefully this moves the needle a little bit. Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's so embarrassing.
Yeah. You're like, you do better. I said this about Stern when we covered him this year, and Opie and Anthony, I would say is also kind of the same. It's like the best shit they did was just riffing without any direction to go. You know, it was like kind of the beginning of the show. They just would sit and talk. Howard would do it too, where it was just like, that was the part that I liked.
Howard still does it, Brian. Thank you very much. He did a bit about Ozempic. John, that song, you know, they're using that song. Well, guess what? Man, when I hear it, you know what I think? I think, oh, I hate this. That's Stern's joke that he made.
It's hard to watch. That one was hard. Here's something.
But I don't like when Howard, I love, and I've done so much stuff for, but like when they get so far up their own ass with the staff and like that, like I like Whack Packers, but I don't care when people are like on the payroll and it's like, they're just fabricating drama every day. Like that drives me a little crazy. That's why Opie and Anthony always felt good. It was like a comic would drop in and they would just like riff with Patrice and deal with that. And it like made it's, you know, it brought in like a fresh viewpoint, but all the like Howard employees all A, work for him, and B, came up listening to him, so they're like, their perspective is not like interesting or, you know, varied in any way.
Opie and Anthony is the realest feeling one, like, because of the fact that I feel like they did the least amount of work and preparation, which actually was like
they had like the least support in some way.
Yeah, they had nothing going on, so they would just literally like sit down and just talk with funny people and just like talk about a news story or like talk about something, you know. And so they didn't have these like, okay, let's do this bit, and which even to me would still sometimes make Ron and Fez, which is my favorite of any of them. Yeah, but
that was close to their show.
It would make it hard sometimes. Like I've mentioned this before, when some of the people were worse at acting, like, you know, Earl and like certain people who just like couldn't really pull it off. And so it would be hard because it would be so obvious that it was a bit, and it would be too obvious and like not in like a funny way. They're trying to actually pass it off as being real. And so, yeah, that's why I liked Opie and Anthony. But yeah.
I got a clip for you because Chris was like, oh, this is Opie's contribution. So I'm going to just play this real quick.
Okay.
It was October Sam's bit. He took credit. No. God, no. That bit came from me.
Okay.
So this is.
Up with Jocktober.
He came up with Jocktober, making fun. So he came up with that.
He'll explain it. He's going to explain what Jocktober was now, how he came up with it.
Oh, that's a flop. That's a flop.
Jocktober Sam's bit. He took credit. No. God, no.
God, no.
Came from me. Sam, I gave the idea to Sam and said, look, you got to find, you know, great stuff we could goof on, and he absolutely took the ball. I hate Sam, by the way, but this is where I confuse people. Like, when you hate somebody, you're supposed to go all in. But I'll tell you this, it was my bit because I knew that I was in a business that had a lot of really, really bad radio.
Yep.
And I had the
it's like I was listening to this radio and it turns out it was me. It was my answering machine message. And I was like, this is unlistenable. What's going on? Yeah. I mean, we've obviously, the idea of Jocktober is so funny because he is just the same as he's the exact same as so many of the people that they make fun of, you know, and without Anthony, he would be on one of those shows.
It's crazy to be like fighting over whose bit was Jocktober, which is just like in radio. So it's like, whose idea was it to comment on other radio? And it's like, dude, that was Sam. It's like, nah, dude, actually it was me. I told Sam to get good clips and he did. And that's confusing because I hate him. And it's like, do you guys hear yourself? You're fighting over credit of like the... I would love it if your whole shit falls apart because you guys argue over who came up with Shocktober. I would love it if the entire stream falls apart.
Came up with it, but when I think about it, I kind of like turned it into what it is today. You know what I mean? In a lot of ways.
There's a little more here.
Idea, and then I gave it to Sam and said, "Look, you know, find audio from shows that we could goof on." So
he didn't even find the audio, by the way. He said, what if we made fun of radio shows? And then Sam did the rest of it.
Which is like, all of it.
All the rest. Yeah, it's not
all the work. But in his defense, then when they actually did the Jocktobers, he would also not contribute at all then. So you got to remember that. You know, he would sit there and do absolutely nothing. Or he would turn it way too mean and everybody would get super uncomfortable because there's no humor in it. And he just comes off as a real big dickhead.
He did always get too mean too. He's got more here though.
So he did a fantastic job with it. Absolutely. But the original bit was my idea. I came in with it because I was like, you know, we got to start making fun of these horrendous radio shows. In a version of Jocktober my entire career. But then we obviously really honed it and developed it into just a huge benchmark bit for the Opie and Anthony show that everyone got involved with. But the initial little spark was absolutely my idea.
Okay.
Who invented WoW? I did.
Now, John, I do remember this. I remember this from last year, is that you had a WoW sticker.
I did too.
The second I could drive, which was at 17 in 1999, yeah. I had a WoW sticker on my 89 Buick Century Custom. And I guess I expected to maybe see titties on a Wednesday, like randomly, but it's also like, what the fuck was I thinking? What were my, I think back when I played travel soccer at 13 years old, I was number 69. And I can't believe and I chose it because I knew it was something dirty. I barely understood what it was. And I was like, why didn't anyone stop me? Like, I wish someone would.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's definitely, it's weird that, like, I feel like nowadays maybe someone might be like, hey, maybe don't do 69. It sort of makes you look like,
oh, they don't. Yeah. Oh, because they don't. When my daughter played soccer, first of all, there was a team called the Golden Toilets, and there was a 69 on every single team. So,
that's
wow.
So awesome.
Okay, that is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Respect. All right.
So he's got a little more here.
It was after John Valby's show. You know, there was a time, like, I didn't speak up about any of this stuff. But then I finally had it. Because
like, just, there was a time when I acted normal and I didn't talk about all this stuff that happened so long ago. But I decided to stop.
Calling it speak up about it. He's talking like he's outing abusers at K-Rock or something like that. But he's talking about speaking up about his own bits and who earned them or who, like, is there a real fight over who came up with WoW? Like, who, like, it is like
in
a
his
funny,
head. I think in his head there is. I don't know. Yeah. In the real world, I don't think that fight exists because I don't think there's any sort of rights to it. There's no money.
Right.
To
there's not like it. Ali, like some fucking like Amazon wants to buy it.
Too, right? Like, it's not like, I guarantee if you went to a concert in the 80s, women were showing their tits at the concerts too. It isn't like anything.
Very few concerts are on Wednesday, though. Mostly they're on a weekend. So, I mean, the idea of saying get people to pull their tits out on a specific day is kind of like, listen, you obviously never saw a single one pair of
right.
And Brian, you never saw a single pair of tits from
yours. I'll say this. We did the first year we did Shocktober, the very first season of Shocktober. I got a DM from some guy from New York who said that his mom wowed people when he was like 12 years old. She would be in the car with, and he said it was very embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, that's the, yeah.
He said it was very embarrassing. Interesting. I didn't.
Yeah, that's like one of, I wouldn't actually be able to, I don't think I could handle that. I don't know how I would react. Like, what I would probably stop going out with my mom. Like, I would stop being in the car with her. I don't know what I would do, but I don't think I could handle that.
That's fucking crazy because that makes me like feel bad that I had a WoW sticker in hindsight because I didn't know about the possibility of like a mom being like, well, I better show this 17-year-old my cans. Mom, knock it off. Like, my mom was so annoying in the car. Could you imagine if also she showed her tits to strangers? Would have been like a layer of frustration.
In your neighborhood too? I mean, people don't drive far away from their neighborhoods.
I remember my dad using like his like logic with me. He's like, I think my dad kind of sounded like Trump, so I'll do an impression. You know, Jody, I think the whip about Wednesdays is more for like truckers who are on the road a lot and they're driving a lot, passing a lot of people. And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes total sense. Not commuting 1.4 miles to school.
Yeah, like, okay. On the same exact path every day. 7 a.m. at 5 p.m. Yeah, the same people. You just have to hope one of them has a change of heart one day. And it's like, you know what? Yeah, I am going to whip them out this Wednesday. You know?
I know. It's very, like, yeah. That DM might have been one of the more depressing DMs from a shot. Because it was like, I didn't even... He's like, I remember her doing it and being very embarrassed, but I hadn't thought about it until I listened to the episode where you described what WoW was. And I was like, oh, I feel for you, man. If my mom showed her tits,
if you're listening,
that would have been great. Not
reach out. Reach out, please. If you're listening to this, reach out to me and Brian via DM on Twitter. Send us a note. I'd love to just like... you know, say sorry or whatever.
Yeah. Tweet at us if you ever saw tits from your WoW sticker, or you ever showed tits from your WoW sticker, or if you ever saw your mom's tits because someone else had a WoW sticker. Please,
any of them. Please.
Can I also say the WoW sticker was the worst shape? Like, it was massive. Like, for a bumper sticker, it was so fucking big.
It was weirdly like tall, right? Like it wasn't like thin enough to go on an actual bumper, because I had it on my trunk next to like where you turn the key. It was like the best place I could get it. Yeah.
Well, they wanted people to be able to see it. Definitely. You know what I mean? You want to make sure people can see what it is. That's the key.
All right.
Well, we're really wondering, well, what did he actually do for the show? And then that's when I start speaking up about a lot of this stuff. But with Matt Wednesday, I went to a John Valby show in Boston at the Comedy Connection when we were at WAAF, the only station that really rocks. And Valby, like by the end of the show, was getting just regular girls to, you know, to flash. And I couldn't believe it. I always thought, this is how stupid it was, but this is me a million years ago, so bear with me. I always thought like for a girl to do that, they had to be like a little special. Let's just say that, a little special. But it was just everyday regular women willing to do this at a John Valby show. And a spark went off in my head. And I went back and talked to Anthony about it. I go, I got an idea. And then, you know, for real, me and him honed it at that point.
Honed
it. We were trying to figure out a name.
Like what? Honing it. That's not honing it. You came up with a name and then stick them on bumper stickers.
It's an idea. It's not a bit. It's an idea. So there's no like honing it. There's no getting it better. It's like we're gonna get girls who aren't just a little special to show their cans. It's like, okay, let's get a team together to really hammer out this bit. Like,
we honed it. We said we sat on
Harvard guys in the writer's room to beat this fucking honing out. It was a John Valby show, man. Like,
who fucking Valby, man. It's so cool to hear the lore, to know that fucking Valby led to fucking WoW. Like, that's very cool. I don't know who John Valby is.
He was a piano player. Okay. He played piano. He sang dirty songs on piano. And they used to have him on. There was very early in the XM run. They had Valby on because they were in a building that the bottom floor was a piano store, and they sent him down to the piano store, and he was singing nasty songs on the sales floor of the piano store.
God, that would have been just outrageous to witness, I bet, for regular people.
Well, here's one from Chris that I think this, the name of it already sounds great.
You still own a vinyl copy of the Tony Speed.
So this is our man, Tony Speed. We watch Opie a lot on our streams, John. And so we watch, he streams on YouTube to very few people. So this is what he's doing now. As people know, this is what he's doing now. I sent Brian some clips of him walking around as well. He's still doing those streams. But these are the main ones he does, where he's just sort of answering YouTube questions and talking to people. And Tony Speed's a legendary commenter.
Yeah, he comments. It doesn't matter what Opie's talking about. Tony Speed wants to know rock and roll stories.
Yeah, he doesn't actually care about Opie and Anthony or anything. He only is interested in, like, I guess because Opie's like met some musicians, you know, through doing like, that's exciting to Tony Speed.
Yeah, Tony Speed loves it.
The first Doors album signed by everyone except Jim Morrison. You said it's pointless to have, but Ray signed it. and he died in 2013. I'll buy it off you. I have it somewhere. This guy meant well. He was huge Opie and Anthony fan. I flew out to L.A., and this guy found out what hotel we were staying at. These were the days where people would just wait for us wherever we went. Ooh. It was kind of nuts.
Whoa. Oh, that's really – so like that Beatles. That is like – he's just reminiscing a lot. Like that's – you know, he does a lot of that. He posts old Opie and Anthony clips on his own channel. You can tell that he is just longing for those years, man. Oh, the fucking people.
What is this comment? For us. Feels weird when we're left alone. Like,
yeah, it must be that there's no Anthony fans bugging him on his.
Oh yeah, that's what it is. He gets trolled a lot by people who hate him and want to ruin him. Still, you know. So there's less of them now because Anthony doesn't really have any fans anymore. Most of them have just moved on, but
most of them are at the 5-day Kumia funeral at the compound.
Oh yeah, most of them are paying their respects. There's a huge lineup, like when the Queen died, you know, like around the corner, just all the most despicable human beings you've ever seen all lined up.
Nancy Pelosi in a kente cloth taking a knee in front of his coffin.
You know, he goes, "Hey, Op, I know you're a big Doors fan. I got something for you." And he pulls out the first Doors album and legit signed by everybody except Jim Morrison. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. If Jimmy signed that thing, oh, I would have framed that. But it always felt like it was missing something. So I believe it
was missing Jim Morrison's.
I got this thing autographed by everyone in the band except for one person, but it always felt like it was missing something. Yeah, I had no idea what it could be.
The way he phrased it was like the way when you say, like, it's missing this, like, idea that you can't really put your finger on. You know?
Right. Also, he's like, a guy flew out to L.A., gave me a Doors LP or a Doors vinyl with signatures from everyone except Jim. He's like, man, if Jim would.
Dude,
you got to tell the guy thank you.
No, that was his whole thing. He used to love that. People would give him gifts and then he would like, that was like, that's the only way he could ever get a laugh was by being excruciatingly mean. So like the famous when he like stepped on the cake or whatever.
It comes up every once in a while.
Yeah.
So, like, not that it happened, but Opie apologizes for him jumping on the cake. He's probably apologized for it at least 25 times.
But he was mean like that all the time. People would give him a gift and he would like rip it up and throw it in the garbage or whatever. And then he would be like, what happened? Like that would be his whole, you know, he'd act like what? And everyone would be like uncomfortable. And that was his only bit.
Like his sense of humor was like when he tried it, it ran the risk of being too mean always. Right. Yeah. And like Kumia was mean, but could like throw a little, a little seasoning of some comedy on it. So you could totally. Handle it a little better. But when they're both kind of like losing it and they're just mean, it's like, it's so extra depressing. Like I'd rather them just be corny. You know what I mean? Like corny would be easier to watch as an old man sits on his giant fucking deck claiming he came up with what's in the chicken box or whatever. Fucking old corny
or something. Well, here's some
information. I was the one who said who's on first.
Yeah, I was actually asking.
These guys are all, I mean, that is a shock jock thing, is you have to invent like things that you have to have ownership of the things you invented. But I've always felt like, wow. Oh, you invented having women flash men, like, or like you invented,
making fun of
other radio shows. That's what you invented. That's like, here's a good one. This starts out very interesting. This is a conversation we have quite a bit on here. So here we go.
You refuse to sign contracts for zero reason. Matthew, were you there? What are you talking about? I can't do the same freaking BS over and over again. I've explained all this, but I will explain this once because I saw you.
Yeah, it's your whole life now, brother. It's all you've got. if people stop talking about all the old bullshit you did, they will stop talking about you altogether. You will cease to exist in the public sphere. This is all you have.
And
where the fuck does he live?
He lives in Manhattan and in the Hamptons.
This is the Hamptons.
Yeah, yeah. He lives, or maybe he says like Northern Long Island or something like that. I'm not
the North Fork, does he say? Yeah.
Yes, he lives in somewhere. It's obviously very nice right on the beach. You guys aren't watching it, but yeah. We are. You guys have probably seen it on stream if you watch our stream. But yeah, it's got like the ocean in behind him, and it's this big, beautiful deck. Yeah, I mean, and his apartment that he's doing has, you know, big overlooking the city, and he's clearly made money. He's clearly made a lot of money, but we'll watch some stuff later. He still is like really, really up on like, hook me up with a fiver. The super chat, like he's still hitting that hard, so it's kind of confusing.
Well, okay, you wait till you hear this one.
I didn't. Why would I? See what happens is, like, Anthony starts all sorts of garbage, and then I got to defend myself. Why would I not sign contracts for no good reason? The amount of money they were throwing at us. Can you use your stupid brain? Why would I not sign a contract for no good reason? Did you go to school?
Oh, that's a real.
We were destroying for SiriusXM. We were destroying for regular radio back in the day, and they were basically paying us pennies on the dollar, even though we made a decent salary. Why do you think I'm sitting here like hoping for another little run? Because just. Oh my God, I get so frustrated because in this day and age, somebody could just spew their nonsense, and then that is looked at as facts, and then you got to fight and you got to explain and push back, and I'm so done with the pushing back crap. Why would I not sign contracts for no good reason? Are you crazy? The fact is, Anthony has no money. The fact is, I need a little run.
Oh wow, so that's the first that if you guys could, he did a little hand thing when he was doing that, like, nah, like, you know, could go one way or could go the other.
Man. So I need a little run. He talks like a fucking gambler. This is for wrestlers.
Yeah, dude.
I need to go on a run. I've been cold for 20 years. I need to
take I'm reminded of something that our friend Felix on one of the original Shocktobers brought up, and that is just like the property tax and like the taxes and the building fees and stuff to be living in Manhattan, and like at these, like, you know, it would cost a lot just in upkeep and stuff. Yeah,
even
like
if he bought them outright cash 20 years ago and had no mortgage, he would just be. Long Island is famously where I'm from and the most like high tax properties in America. My question for you guys know this world better than I do. What can he possibly be making on YouTube streams?
Oh, nothing. No. Negligible amounts of money. He has nobody watching. He has like at most like 50, 60 viewers that are watching his streams, and he'll get like a few super chats. Like he got one for $20 and he was like depressingly excited about it. You know what I mean? Like about getting the $20, like, he is not making anything. I don't know why he's doing this, because he needs to still be talking to people and have some audience, I guess. I don't know.
I get, like, I think if at some age you're supposed to, like, I would say Opie should like sell his Manhattan place, move out to this area, unplug the modem for like fucking six months and just like reconnect with himself and like nature and his family, and then decide what he wants to do for $20 a day.
Incredible advice.
But we always said he was broke. Like we've said for like 2 years, 3 years, I think they're both broke. I'm like fairly certain they're both broke. Cause remember somebody said that Anthony responded to somebody saying he's broke by saying like the revenue that Compound Media brings in is $1 million a year. And it's like, okay, now like what are the expenses then? of Compound Media, and you start to think about it being in like a Manhattan office space, and like,
and he's Anthony paying the other podcasters probably, and the other,
but not really. No, yeah. That's a low cost. That doesn't really even register in the quarterly report.
This makes me so mad. This makes me so angry that he's like complaining about money while live streaming on his like back deck that overlooks the bay. Like he's on the Long Island Sound. No view obstruction. Clearly his property directly to the water. And he's bitching about money. And it's making me so angry. Like, at least lie, like, you know what I mean? At least like put up a little bit of a front. Don't you feel any sympathy? Like, you know, like when the executives had to start like Zooming from during the pandemic, they all realized that they had to like go to their kids' bedroom or whatever so that they didn't look insanely rich while their employees were fucking sharing an apartment six ways. You saw that. And like, this guy just put a fucking fake backdrop on your it's like, why did you do this?
The issue that he has is that he has been streaming for a long time from this location, and I think maybe the money issues just came up
recently. The money is new,
and so now he's like, yeah, property's old, he's been streaming there for years, and so it would be a little bit transparent if he all of a sudden went in front of a wall and asked or whatever. He's kind of screwed himself, you know.
You know what else, Chris, is sad about it? Is that his idea for a new run is De Beer Show. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, his idea.
So John probably doesn't know De Beer Show.
I know about it is from your two Twitters. So.
Okay, so De Beer Show is, he goes to his friend Matt, his bar Gebhardt's. It's somewhere in New York. And he gets drunk in the middle of the week and just does this stream kind of in front of at the bar as he gets drunk and sort of talks about the beers a little bit. And it's at one point he had some theme music and a little intro and seemed to be actually trying to make it happen. But it seems to be mostly him drinking with various strange men and just like, all right, good. We'll watch a bit of it in a little.
Yeah, I'll show. But he's got more to say here.
Considering what the Opie and Anthony show did, considering the amount of people that were listening to Opie and Anthony, considering the amount of money we were making executives and salespeople across the board, I shouldn't have to worry about money ever again in my life. And same goes for Anthony. I'll stick up for him as well. He doesn't have a lot of money left.
But that's not, if you spend it all, that's not how money works. You're not entitled. You made a lot of it. You're right. You should never have to work again. And probably if you made wise investments and didn't spend it incorrectly, you probably wouldn't have to work ever again.
If you sold your Manhattan apartment right now and put it all in an interest bearing account, you could probably make more off that interest than you do off your live stream. And then you don't have to fucking answer questions about 35-year-old bits anymore. You can just like,
would you make $10? Yeah, if you would make $10 in interest off it, then you'd be making more than what he makes off of his live streams. And he actually does it in two, like he does it from his, so everyone's aware that he has these two properties. So I think that most people who would be watching, even his fans, would be like, brother, why don't you, I only got the one apartment here that I'm living with the missus, you know, you maybe want to sell one of the fucking big, you know, $1 million pads there, you might be okay instead of asking me to give you $20.
Is Opie he's married? Got more.
Yes, okay. He's still married. He is still married
with so kids. Yeah.
What do you think his wife says when he's like, I got to go outside and do my live stream? And she knows the revenue is on that.
I've wondered that. I have wondered that for so long. Like, what does his wife think when he gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning and sits in a hallway and argues with people about what he came up with for a show that ended in 2014?
What do you think? Possibilities? She's just happy he ain't talking to her.
Well, that's what I was gonna say, Chris. There's a high chance that she's like, enough. I don't care who came up with fucking
yeah.
Jocktober. Get out of here.
And then he had to start streaming because he had to tell somebody and she just had enough of it. I mean,
people need to know who came up with Jocktober. Yes, babe. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm whistling, acting like a whistleblower. He keeps saying like, I push back on that. It's time. It's time I fucking take credit for the things that I like. He acts like fucking Edward.
Stand up Snowden. For my honor. It's time to stand up for my honor and the honor of my family and the honor of my family's name. And that is who came up with the idea for women to show their titties on a Wednesday.
I think there's a more here.
To probably make some big moves to, to continue living the way I do.
Oh.
The fact is they weren't paying us enough. And so I was the only one that would fight and go, I ain't signing this. This is garbage.
But now you have no, and, now and you're just,
spend it
you're
all
just,
he wants.
But you're now you need money. So the guy's right. You shouldn't have signed the contract. If it was just about like, they weren't paying you enough. Well, now you have zero.
Yeah. Well, that must hurt so bad thinking back of like making these big stances and stuff. I mean, if he didn't, he might have ran out of money even sooner. So
it's true. Who knows? Like, you never
give himself some credit. Yeah. But at the same time, this is an actual real life version of Al Bundy talking about the four touchdowns in one high school game. Just going back to like, I once made a lot of fucking money and I deserve to keep me. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. There are like NFL quarterbacks who own car dealerships now. Like, you don't get to keep your money forever. Like, shit falls off.
It's not, I was so famous for like a period of time. Doesn't mean that you just get to be rich forever.
And the fucking money that they made, I think it was like a few grand. Like, it was a few million. Four million?
It was like 600,000.
Yeah, probably a few grand, actually. It's like
Brian just has no money. And it's like they probably had like $2,000. Were they? I mean, you can live off that.
Kill for $2,400 right now.
I mean, I would. But like, yeah.
I think there were rumors of like they split $4 million a year on Sirius. Not on Sirius, on the other one, that they made more on not the first contract with Sirius because nobody wanted them, but that they made more than they did. Like, because remember when they went, this is the dumbest thing they ever did, but they did make probably a shit ton of money from it when they went back to terrestrial radio for half of their show.
Yeah, they did say they did it. They were doing XM and terrestrial at the same time.
And I think they turned a lot of people off when they did that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I remember being fucking pissed that, like, okay, so 3 hours of the show is chock full of commercials and they're not allowed to curse or anything like that. And they're going to spend, 45 minutes of the 3 hours complaining because they can't curse on regular radio. And then they're going to go to XM for an hour and a half and, like, phone it in. And, like, I remember being so mad about that.
Yeah, when they used to just get into that shit also drives me crazy when they would just like complain about their jobs all the time. Howard did that for a while too. And I was just like, I'm not listening to you on my drive to my shitty job, hear you talk about this dream job like it's so shitty. That is just like, it was too tacky for me. I remember being like, shut up and just do comedy bits. Like, who cares? You have two jobs right now and you're bitching about both of them. Sucks.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the mind of a hater. OP still uses hater like back in the day.
He's got a lot of haters. He does have a
that's true.
He is a fair amount.
Ope was a Howard super fan. I know. Because I said I wasn't. Now that's the spin now. I've been doing this I've been doing this for way too long. I understand the mind of a hater. It starts with this. This is how it starts. You try to be an open, honest person about things. I say stuff that makes me look like a fool. I'm not stupid. I understand that.
Everything you say makes you look like a fool. He hasn't said a single thing that didn't make him seem like a fool in years I've been watching him now.
But he gets that. He understands that. You might be a hater, Brian.
I might be. I know he's got.
Let me listen to more of this. I might be doing a fucking show with a goddamn hater and not even realize it.
Could be.
But I also know that trying to speak openly and honestly in general makes for damn good live streaming and radio and podcasting. Yep. So I know that. But I know there are times like
all 356 other people that watch this video in the past 4 weeks are agreeing with you on what makes really good.
Oh, God, that is like, fuck, this is his primary. Like, this is where it's not like, oh, he's not really on YouTube. It's like, this is his where he puts his stuff up.
Oh, yeah. Man. This isn't split up with other things. This is 357 views 4 weeks ago. It took him 4 weeks to get almost to 400.
And a lot of them are us.
I was going to say, a handful of them are people, are haters.
Yeah.
John, I think 150 of them are
haters. Oh, yeah. Especially a video like this. Like, if I'm a hater, I'm not personally, but if I was a hater and I see a video that's like the mind of a hater, I'm clicking that video to see, you know, do they have any insights on us? Or have they actually figured this shit out?
Well, and you know how many Howard fans sent this to each other and shit? Like, it's like people watching this for all not the reasons Opie wants them to.
I will say that there aren't a ton of Howard super fans anymore.
No, they don't really exist anymore. Yeah. The show, they're not into it anymore, John. They're not really into doing the show. They're very old and they're very tired and they're not really into it. And I don't really know why they're still doing it, to be honest.
We watched them make a TikTok about how often one of the guys in the staff thinks about the Roman Empire.
And it's just so uninspired. And like you said, like the stuff that's like put on kind of where it's like, oh, the staff members are having a fight or whatever. Ronnie, the limo driver's mad and shit, like where it would kind of, you'd sort of be like before you'd be like, oh, this is a little bit put on, but it's still kind of funny or whatever. Now it is just like so labored and so like they're like, oh, I guess we're doing that, you know, like it just really feels like they're being forced to do it or something. It's tough to watch as people. We're also big Stern fans. Our
fake
whole life.
Emails is the thing. There's two things he does now that really will bum you out. One is the fake emails where all the emails are like, Howard, that thing you said the other day, that was smart. And I had never thought of it that way. Or knock, knock, knock. And it's they have a door. Which this is, they would have never done this in the good run of Howard Stern, where it's like knock, knock, knock sound effect, and then a door that creaks open, and it's like, hey, look, everybody, it's Alex Jones.
And they, this guy does, he came and do Alex Jones impression, you know, which is like a pretty easy one to do.
There are tons of comics who could do it very well. Yeah.
And even just like normal people.
Yeah,
I can do it, you know, like just guys that kind of talk that way, you know.
My wife could probably do it better than
it's really poorly done, and it's tough to it is. We did it, and it bummed a lot of people out on Chucktober. We did it as a second episode, and because everyone loved Stern, most people did at some point, you know, so it's really a lot harder to watch. This is less hard to watch.
Yeah, this is, and it's the knock, knock, knock shit is a real bummer because it's a fucking radio show. You can just call in like it used to be back in the day. True. Just keep that up. Like, what's the knock, knock, knock? Keep the medium alive. I know everyone wants to be on TikTok and video does better than audio, but you're fucking Howard Stern. You're like a 40-year radio veteran. Just play the fucking audio.
Now, he's a YouTube clip guy now.
Yeah, Howard Stern doesn't need to be on TikTok at all. Like,
there's a dude who doesn't need to be working anymore at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a guy that does need to be working.
Yeah, here's a guy who does.
Why did I admit that? So what the hater does, you say something open and honest, and in this case, I broke down why I wasn't a Howard Stern fan. One of the main reasons was I just wasn't around to listen to him because I was too busy doing college radio and living far from Long Island. And, you know, I go back so far that Howard wasn't syndicated all over the country. So that was one of the main reasons probably I wasn't a fan of his.
I wish he didn't bring up his age, too. His age really he's 25 years older than me. He's begging for a fucking job. And it's just like, we watched him beg, right, for a radio job, which he then said he turned down because they didn't offer him enough. And I was like,
that's right. Somebody, it was maybe a scam of some kind as well. It could have been someone fucking with him, but he did get offered.
It could have been an email, like the emails you get from like Kickstarter, where they're like, hey, you know, we could finance a tour for you, and then you just have to pay us back when you're done. And it's like, no, I'm not. I don't want to do that.
No, thank you.
Stop. Did I listen when I would pack my car to go back up to Western New York until the signal ended? Yeah, here and there. Sure, I did. But I just simply wasn't a fan of Howard Stern. So you admit this, you say this, you put separate videos out about it.
What does the hater do?
The hater does is take that, and then they do crap like this. Opie was a Howard super fan. I'm not dumb, bro.
Well, you're definitely dumb. He just did a class. He wasn't being, he was just doing a little, really gentle little ribbing, you know, like you said that I wasn't a big fan. And then he's like, oh, Opie is a Howard super fan. You know, like that's just really gentle ribbing.
Yeah,
it is. All right. Well, let's try. Let's do. Chris sent me a couple today.
These are very recent live streams where he's walking around in New York City.
No, this is a different one. This is Zelensky.
Oh, this is from De Beer Show.
Yeah, this is some beer show info.
It's now not called De Beer Show anymore. It's called Tuesdays at Gebhardt's or something.
The Beer Show had a bad name. They
changed the name, but the problem is they do it every single day, it seems like, but it's called Tuesdays at Gebhardt's. I don't know.
Well, yeah, because Opie wants to get drunk.
So this is it, John. We're looking at it right now. This is his show that he does now. He sits in a bar,
mm-hmm.
and he gets drunk.
Yes. Yeah. Which is a dream job for a lot of people. You gotta. Yeah.
So this is the bar owner, Matt, and this is the end of the one of their shows.
Everybody's upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not happy.
Not
about
including
it.
Me.
They're not happy about it. What are you guys talking about? That's a very good question.
So deep.
We've had a few beers.
So deep.
I've had this.
Don't show them all.
Holding up.
I almost did not have that.
I didn't have
you that. Definitely didn't have that one.
I had this.
You looked at that one.
Oh, and you
can I judge
no pumpkin?
Can I weigh it? Can I weigh it?
No pumpkin.
Whoa! That thing's heavy as hell. What'd you put in there? All your other beers?
And then you throw out all the other cans because you're like
I'm a busser, man.
You have OCD or something.
No, I started as a busboy in this industry.
But how do we show all the beers that we just
had? You see, I don't think about that when I go back to my busser mentality.
Post them on. But that's how you get people into your bar. That's all you get out of this.
What, by not busting a table?
You get nothing. Incorrect. You get nothing else out of this. So you might as well show the empty cans and they go, oh, I'm going to go to get parts.
I'll wash them out. You should take.
Well, that's how it literally ended. So it's him sort of yelling at the bar owner for cleaning the tables up because he said you got to show the cans after because that's going to get people into the bar. Mind you, there's very few people watching, John, and even a fewer that live in range because they're all over the country.
That's the other problem.
That's a huge issue. Right. So I think that Matt, the owner, was making a good point that no, the way I get people into my bar is not by leaving cans everywhere and having it be dirty. It's actually by keeping it clean, like you're meant to do.
It's the most alcoholic shit ever, too. That was like, did you clean up my cans here? I wanted to show off how much I drank.
I know there is an episode of the Beer Show. It's spelled DA Beer Show.
So the Beer Show,
So there's an episode of the Beer Show where they are fucking hammered.
Oh, yeah, this is Brian's favorite. This is
my favorite episode.
Yeah.
It's my favorite episode.
Everyone has a favorite episode of the Beer Show.
Oh, yeah. God. They are so fucking drunk that they're like doing the wave, like, you know. And at the very end of the video, Opie was like, we got to go because my daughter has a dance recital that I have to go to. And it's Oh man, he was so drunk. He embarrassed. He had to be.
Yeah, they get so like noticeably drunk by the end of it. Even and sometimes they started and it's drunk because that's what I picture is they start getting drunk in the day and then he's like, let's do a stream, you know, and they're like, yeah, good idea, you know, like so they sometimes she'll start it up and they're already just fucking blitzed.
He says like one thing and the guy's like, that's actually pretty funny. Oh, he's like, all right, roll on this.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you got to admit, if you're Opie and somebody tells you you're funny, that's probably like the most exciting thing that's happened to him. Other than maybe a $30 super chat.
It was only 20. He's never gotten a $30 one. Now, this is amazing because I told you I watched two. We're about to watch some of his live streaming in person here, but so I watched two of these full streams of him walking around New York City. One thing that struck me was he didn't get recognized by anybody, you know, like he had such a huge show in New York. You'd think that somebody would be like, I won't spoil it, but he does end up interacting with somebody who's famous from the Police Academy movies. and so he sort of recognizes him when he tells him who he is and he looks him up and stuff. But yeah, not one person was like, hey, Opie, what's up?
Listen, I love the Police Academy movie, so that would be exciting for me.
Just to jump back to the beer show for one second.
No problem.
You think that bar owner, that's like a fucking monkey paws thing, right? Like he was like, oh shit, Opie wants to do a live stream. That could be good for business. And now Opie's there like, too frequently, like drinking his fucking face off, and he's like super mad, and there's no business and no crossover. Yeah. And he's just like, Jesus Christ, can you at least switch it to drinking at Gebhardt's so that I can have like some fucking recognition?
Good point. really good point.
That's 100%. You can tell that he's like his drinking buddy, but DB likes to bring up the fact that like we watched a video where with the super chat. The $20 and Matt was really excited and it seemed like Matt was like excited, like we might get this fucking tab dealt with. So yeah, I think he runs that shit up as well. You know, he's like, I'm fucking Opie, buddy. Like I fucking, you know, I don't pay this shit.
Yeah. It probably costs Gebhardt's a shit ton of money just to give him like 9 different $11 a high octane IPAs every week. And
yeah,
God, the fucking plumbing in Opie's house must be disgusting.
Well, yeah, and we've talked about like also just the fact that like if I go to a bar and they're doing a podcast at one of the tables, I would turn around and just leave. I don't want anything to do with that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And Opie's, you know, saying, hey man, come on over here, we're doing a podcast. It's like, I don't, and I'm a podcaster and I would run out. And
yeah, they're doing it at the window as well, like right there in the entrance, right at the window, so everyone can see, you know.
You're like, oh, you want to grab a beer? It's like, nah, not here, keep walking. It's New York City. There's
Opie's people on the street too. Sorry, John. I don't know why I did that.
Oh, I think there's a bit of a delay. That's why.
My computer is like literally hot. It's like keeps getting warnings that it's hot.
But yeah, he yells at people out of the window. Like the first video we watched this year was of him talking about Anthony being in the hospital.
Well, I mean, I gave you some timestamps here, Brian, and spoiler alert, he does some of his little bits to some people who are just sort of walking around in the world, just minding their own business, but they get to be part of a famous Opie bit.
Oh,
so this is the start of his. I'm just going to show you how it's
long.
Yeah, how I'm going to show you how this one starts. This is from a couple of days ago, him walking around Central Park.
And it's in the wrong mode.
Oh, yeah, it's not in.
It's the vertical one instead of the, yeah.
Nowadays, that's kind of the right mode, though, because people watch it on their phone all the time. So it is playing right now.
It is playing. Oh, there it was in his pocket, I thought.
It was in his pocket or something, I believe. Yeah.
What is going on, everybody? Taking a stroll around New York City, doing a little shopping. Oh. And find myself walking into such a park. So I said, you know what? Why don't I turn this on for the people? See what's going on today.
Appreciate Joe.
So here we are with all the tourists. Everyone else is working. Me and the tourists.
RJ Henners, what's going on, man? Morning to you. What's up, Lady Di? What's up, Richard? What's
so
up,
Johnny? Did you hear that? You're here. Who's in the chat?
Lady Di, but isn't she dead?
Yeah, I think that's someone doing a bit of a morbid bit, but I hope he just responds to it, just like stand, like, "Hey, what's up, Lady Di?"
Man, I thought he knew like the pigeons by name or something like that. I forgot about like streamer life.
Yeah, he just starts chatting with the chat, and you think to yourself, you're like, "Hey, what's up? How's oh, thanks." And you think, "Oh, someone did recognize him," but no, he's talking to his chat. Ryan, you want to go to the next time?
What about a sad sentence? It's just me and the tourists. Everybody else is at work.
And he's like, "I wish I was at work."
Yeah, he really does. He really
wishes. Take the fucking hint, dog.
Okay, so here's he's in the park now, and he's gonna do a really funny bit on somebody who doesn't really even seem to know what the hell's going on.
Well, I mean, people don't know the famous Opie bits now. You know, here we go.
Sure.
So he's up. He's in a park, approaching a guy who's very far away.
Sir. Excuse me.
So he's just yelling at this
rude
guy.
And rude.
Oh, this is so bad.
Do it this way.
So you can tell when he does his whisper voice, you know he's up to no good, and we're going to laugh.
Sir.
Bit commence now.
I'm trying to get the famous tree. That's a famous tree. Very world famous tree. Thank you. Very famous. You might want to get a picture of that. Very famous tree. George Washington planted it back in the day.
Oh my god.
This guy,
this is insane. This is upsetting. He calls somebody else rude for a second and then does a bit that is not funny and is exclusively rude.
This is not the guy is just like feels like kind of like menaced, you can tell. So he starts taking a video of it. Because he's like, he's not sure if like, is he telling me I have to do this? You know what I mean? but he does kind of, he lets us in on it at the end. It's kind of fun.
That's exciting.
George Washington, first president of the United States of America. He planted that tree. It's very famous. You're going to want to take a video of that, sir.
It's an older guy, by the way, like an old man he's talking to.
Not bad, right? Your turn. Give it a try. Give it a try. Make sure you tell people. George Washington planted that tree, Sheep's Meadow, Central Park here in New York City. You'll thank me later. Okay?
Hey guys. All right. Have a good day. Photo.
That's not true. Ooh! Air horns.
Oh, my God. He's doing his own soundboard.
So that's live. that is really, really, like, that's classic. So you can see he still got it for anyone who's like a radio person who's like wondering if he could still, because he's trying to look for some work right now. And that's just showing you him interacting with, but imagine that's a caller.
Yeah. You know? And he can sizzle in any medium. It's on the radio. It's on vertical iPhone footage in Central Park. Like this is. Isn't this, by the way, filming other people is what got Anthony in like the original trouble too?
Fair
like,
enough. Yes. And both of them.
That is true. And Opie also got fired for filming people.
For filming Roland in the washroom.
Yep. Taking a dump and then showing it to the other people and then saying he never showed it to other people.
This part of the video is wild because he's walking now in the city. And out on a patio, sitting in a place where he is desperate for people to recognize him, is a former star, none other than Steve Guttenberg. And Opie runs into him, and it is incredible content, folks.
All right.
You're the dude from
Batman.
Police Academy.
No, Batman.
You were in Batman?
Ghostbusters.
You were in Ghostbusters?
No, wait a minute. Guardians of the Galaxy.
You're in Guardians of the Galaxy. Come yes, on, of course.
Me.
What's Come up, on. Brother?
What's going on? Star Trek.
I was Star Wars. No, I was Opie from Opie and Anthony.
Oh, I'm from Opie and Anthony.
No, you're not.
Andy Griffith.
Police Academy.
Are you familiar with Opie and Anthony?
This is are you guys familiar with Who's On First? We mentioned that before. This is kind of an updated.
This is kind of the new Who's On First. This is like the new dialogue-based comedy bit. This is staged, and this is right.
So this is. I don't know if it's staged. I'm not sure. Maybe. I think it
is Gutenberg a guy who does anything alone?
Is this Steve Gutenberg at all? Like,
is Steve Gutenberg? It is
really him.
Yeah, it really is Steve Gutenberg. Now, it might be staged because he like pulls his thing out after as well. But it's weird that it's set up because it's just kind of in the midst of this. He hasn't posted as its own video. It's just kind of in the middle of this live stream. And he just kind of walked up to him. And I think he passed by him and people in their chat were like, that's Steve Gutenberg maybe or something.
Oh, that
but
makes
also,
sense. This is minute 40 of a consecutive bit. So obviously,
staged. Okay. And so it is just kind of, it's just kind of cool how you can see, like, so you got to see how Opie can do his bit still. Now you get to see him interviewing a celebrity like he would do on the radio as well. So this is kind of like a little bit of a
real, more or less.
This could be his real.
This is brutal, man.
This is awful. This is making me like Steve Gutenberg less. And I always just had at least like positive thoughts about him in my mind.
Yeah, no, he is getting caught with some strays here, Gutenberg. But Opie is about to, you know, let him know who he is, which is cool.
Yes.
You're from the show? Opie. Are you Opie?
Yes. We're both famous.
Come on, man.
Instead of wearing a wedding ring, I got a tattoo.
So are we going to be on TV or going to be on the radio?
I'm live streaming to, you don't want to know how many.
All right, no
it's a little low today.
No that is
I have goosebumps. That just upset me.
It's a little low today, and it's only at 688 now.
Total.
Yeah, four days later.
Yeah,
and that's with a Gutenberg reveal.
The way Gutenberg says, is it going to be on TV or the radio? And Opie has to, you know, break the news to him that I ain't on either of those mediums anymore, Mr. Gutenberg.
It's one of the saddest questions that Goots can ask. Unbeknownst to him, an even sadder answer.
It's sad.
It's going to be somewhere where people can see it. And the guy, and Opie's answer is like, technically.
It's actually not on TV or the radio. It's actually on YouTube, which can be very good nowadays, even better than TV. But in this case, it's not. It's much lower.
We're in double digit numbers. I mean, he is at this point. In double digit numbers, because me and Chris, anytime we do a stream or anything like that, we see when Opie goes live, and it is always double digit numbers.
Never triple digits, into triple digits. He could have just lied to Gutenberg.
Though. I would have said 600 people are watching,
I would have said higher.
In the middle of the afternoon, he's on like minute 40 of a live stream. Like, who's there this whole time? Like, what? It's like someone who's like nurse put it on their TV and they are like have trapped in syndrome and like that. Right?
Tony Speed.
It's someone who was watching something on their Apple TV and then just turned the TV. He was watching YouTube. They turned the TV off and this just kept playing.
And it's just TV other, yeah.
Brian, can you take a screenshot of this? Gutenberg, he's like sitting in this like garden patio area, like clearly trying to get recognized by people who are walking down the street, you know, sitting out on display. I just love it as the thumbnail for the episode.
No, I can't imagine Steve Gutenberg. Like he doesn't get, I thought he didn't work because he, like didn't want to.
I got no problem with Gutenberg. I think I don't know what his deal is. I don't know anything about him, but I got no problem with him at all.
I know he was in town he was in New York last week to go see the Gutenberg the musical that's on Broadway right now, written by my buddy Anthony King and Scott Brown. I know because they do a cameo as part of the show and they got Gutenberg to be there. So that's like a big one.
Is it about him?
No, it's about the invention of the printing press in a weird way by the OG Gutenberg. But so this is like this is so layered for me right now. And Chris, I didn't like, I was able to zoom in now and look at this tableau that Gutenberg has set up for himself. And you are, this feels insane. He's like, he set up like fucking Stuart Smalley. He's got like his own little set. Like,
yeah. Yeah. He's got like a weird, like he's got a blazer on with a black turtleneck underneath it. Like his, and again, he's like, there's like floral arrangements all surrounding him. He just, it's a very bizarre looking thing. But hey, listen, I don't think they're done yet. I think they got a little more back and forth.
Oh, good. I love the electricity of these.
Yeah, the Panther is on, you know, impeccable.
Well, seven.
I forgot your name.
Don't worry about it.
No, I got to tell you, I follow you on TikTok or Instagram, and you do some positive crap.
I do.
See?
It's called positive crap?
You should call it positive crap.
Hold on here. Wait a minute. I'm going to do YouTube. Hold on here. Okay.
Steve Guttenberg.
Well, hold on here. This is, you're Opie.
Yeah.
You're Opie.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Opie comes along, and he thinks I'm in Star Trek, Star Wars.
Now,
dude, this is one of the worst things I've ever watched. And me and Chris watched tours of Swingers Club.
Yeah, this is, I knew that when I, listen, I'll be honest. As I mentioned, I watched both of these, but I literally had them on in my pocket, you know, like as I was walking around, just listening to them like a podcast. And when he walked up and he said, "You're from the movie," and I thought I recognized the voice. And then all of a sudden when I fucking pulled it up and saw the face and I saw it was Steve Guttenberg, I was like, this is perfect for Sean. I mean, this is just an incredible clip.
So what I'm guessing now, I'll give you a quick guess of what I think happened is that Opie DM'd Steve Guttenberg on Instagram because he's on there regularly and they set this up. Like, is what I'm beginning to believe.
It could be. It could be like John, like that could have been, but it just seems like he must have. I guess Gutenberg didn't realize just how low level Opie is these days.
Opie has good numbers.
Yeah.
As in, like, so on his Instagram, he does have 6 digits.
Yeah,
followers.
So imagine if that was a pre-written comedy bit. Imagine like that thing that
it was. I think it fucking was.
I think it might be. And there's like layers to this that are stressing me out. And you know, like I'm 41. So everyone always like bitches about young people on their phones and shit. And it's true. But older people on their phones are way fucking worse. And this is like peak my aunts like running into each other somewhere. Well, look who I'm with. But I'm assuming Gutenberg's going on Instagram Live right now.
Oh, yeah, he's doing some sort of it. Yeah, old people are menaces on their phones. You're right. I mean, I went to see Killers of the Flower Moon, and this damn near 75-year-old guy is scrolling through Instagram. The movie's already started, full brightness. He's going like this. Somebody had to come and tap him, and he goes, "Oh, yeah, sorry." Like,
what'd you tap him? What'd you tell on him?
No, what do you mean? Somebody else, he's sitting in the front fucking row. Everybody just sees his bright
volume up.
Your phone is so bright in a theater.
Brian, are you taking the side of the person who had their phone out when the movie was on?
You little scamp.
You motherfucker.
Don't you know?
You know.
Listen.
I
you got to go
get
back
mad about that because for me, it's kind of like, I don't know. He's not making any noise.
Dude, brightness is distracting. If you're in the front, like
it really was.
Want to go on your phone, go in the last row, put your shit all the way down, and keep it quiet.
Yeah, the brightness was the issue. It was like he had it up, like everybody, like people were saying, like phone, like it was just like he was in the front row of like the, you know, not the front row, but the front row of the main part where everyone was actually sitting in, and so everybody could just see his phone.
Bro, the movie's over 3 hours. You should be allowed to have your phone.
Brian, this was 45 seconds into the film.
I know, but he knew it was going to be a 3.5 hour run.
If you want to go on your phone during a 3.5 hour movie, I would say you don't want to see a 3.5 hour movie.
Yeah, they should have a intermission. I do believe that. I think they try to push too many movies in. They should do intermissions on movies over 2.5 hours. It would be smart to, you know, give people. But yeah, I mean, listen, you know what you're in for. This guy, I thought he was going to put it away. He was doing it before the movie started. I figured he's going to put it away, and then he just didn't.
You know?
Probably something interesting.
when I saw Killers of the Flower Moon, I had the weirdest. There was only like the theater was like a quarter full. It was like an afternoon, but one guy had like, what is sleep apnea if you have it when you're awake? He had like general apnea. It was insane to listen. And he was like blowing his nose and like coughing. Another woman had like a slushy and kept spinning it to try to like when it was down towards the end. It was so much volume and shit going on in here. And none of it was like, and a person behind two sitting right behind me ate popcorn one kernel at a time, unbroken for 2.5 hours.
Man, oh man.
I was there with a buddy and he said if I wasn't there, no one would believe the stories. Like this person literally for 2.5 unbroken hours, just none. I was like, finish the fucking popcorn. Deviated septum guy got popcorn halfway through the movie, and then I have to start listening to him like Gandolfini breathe through a fucking large buttered popcorn. I want to fucking kill myself.
It's always great having fun at the movies, kind of like that.
But it's not the type of movie. It's like a Marvel movie or whatever. There's all these explosions and stuff going on. But this is kind of like a quiet, contemplative movie.
Yeah. I think it's funny when people act like that at the movie. Like there's something about it when I'm at the movies. I was seeing a movie one time. Now I'm not going to say the movie because then you guys will just be like, oh, well, you know. It was 22 Jump Street. It was 22 Jump Street. Seeing that on opening night.
I like you're saying, I was seeing a movie one time and it's like a movie from 15 years ago, like a sequel.
It's like 22 Jump Street and a guy in front of me answered his phone and had a full conversation on opening night of the movie. And people were so fucking furious about it that I was like, that's one of my favorite movie going experiences.
Yeah, that's funny. And honestly, if it's a silly movie like that, like where it's like whatever, like, you know, missing a little part of it, I'm going to be a little more chill about it.
Also, Godzilla 2014, I went to on opening night and somebody brought a baby. And like, as you know, Godzilla shows up on screen, it's very loud. And the baby would just start screaming every time. And every time you could hear through the whole theater, shut that fucking baby up. Can you believe they brought a baby here? And it was one of my favorite experiences. I love it when somebody fucks up the whole experience for everybody in the room.
A woman one time answered the phone on speakerphone during I Am Legend opening night and was talking loudly to the person. We could hear the other side. And everyone in the theater is like, put your phone away. And she like looks back and then passes the phone on speakerphone to the person next to her. And that person picks up the conversation from there. There were two theaters in my old neighborhood in Brooklyn. One was Cobble Hill Cinemas and the other was Court Street Theater. If you went to the Court Street Theater, it was so rambunctious and so crazy in there that if you walked up to the counter, ticket counter after you came out of the movie, they just slide you 2 free tickets. Because they just knew that you were coming to be like, hey, there was like 15 unchaperoned children running around and screaming slurs the whole time. They'd be like, yep. It was just like such a lawless regal that they would just give tickets. I think to white people that came up because we had like complain face on. They were like, it was before Karen's. So they were just ready to fucking give away coupons. Yeah.
It's so funny to me because like I kind of look at somebody who would do that at the movies, like a person who answers the phone and talks on speakerphone during the movie. I'm like, I wish I was that person.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not good to be somebody who doesn't consider anybody else and only thinks about themselves. That is a bad type of person. I understand what you're saying, that you want to have that confidence.
I'm glad you're care. Not that type of person.
Yeah, I'm glad. That's what makes you nice, like, because you consider other people when you do stuff.
Life is more fun for them than it is for us, is what I'm
100%.
saying. 100%. They're like having the best time all the time. Well, let's see if there's any more Gutenberg info.
I think this is the end of it. Yeah, okay. I think they break
Thank
away
God.
Now. To the galaxy, and what else did you think I was in?
Well, I picked Police Academy first.
He wrote this bit
first. Right, and this guy does positive stuff on the internet, right? And me, not so much.
Thank you so much.
All right,
Steve, what's your real name?
I ain't telling you that.
Come on, you're not Opie. You don't know if that name is that. Opie.
My name's Greg, but that's Greg. A birth name that I've never used.
All right, can I call you Greg?
Yes,
all right,
Steve, I see you all the time.
Good. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for everything you do online. It's nice and positive. I can learn from you.
All right, Greg.
All right. See you.
They fucking wrote that. That was written by the end of it, I realized that was 100% written between those two guys.
Could have been. Let us know what you think. If you think that was a pre-prepared bit between Opie and Gutenberg, or if you think that was off the cuff improv style shit.
I think he just kept going back to the Guardians of the Galaxy Star Wars thing.
He did keep hitting his marks kind of in, you know, he kept going back and trying to sort of recenter the conversation. But John, you're an improv guy. Did that feel like pre-written or improv?
That felt a little scripted. Now, if you want to go back and analyze the live stream footage and let us know, I would also take a look at yourself and think about what you're doing with your time that you are. We have already watched this and have hated it. And Chris has now watched this like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, I've watched it a lot. And I'm
stressed on your behalf.
Next week is Man Cow. So we're about to be tortured for an entire week looking at our Man Cow videos. Very excited, you know, like we said last week, Man Cow with Felix, and it's going to have we'll make sure we watch the whole Man Cow and John Lovitz video. That ought to be really good politics on that.
Oh, God.
Man Cow had John Lovitz on. I mean, you can't ask for two better guys except for if he had had Rob Schneider on.
Get Schneider in the mix. Schneider have to say about it? I know Rob Schneider. I know I've mentioned this before, but I opened for him and like he like got gigs from me and stuff, and he was like the biggest fucking loser slime ball I've ever talked to in my life, who like gleefully was like, hey, come on the phone with me and let me like call and berate the assistant at my agency about not getting you this gig. And he was like doing it so I could hear it, you know? And oh, what an absolute scumbag.
It's funny you say that because there was a guy in Columbus when I was doing open mics that like I never talked to him. He like ran for libertarian in some small town in Ohio.
And you never talked to him, of course, because you're so politically close-minded.
And so he's this guy that's like a libertarian or whatever. And like people that knew him would walk up to him and be like, he writes jokes for Rob Schneider. Like it was like a really big deal.
Everybody did at some point or tried to, because he would try to get you to write jokes for him for free.
Yes,
because he can't write, because he doesn't know how to write jokes, because he's not like a funny guy.
So fucking funny.
Yeah.
That is how comedy starts, though. It's like even back in the day, it'd be like, yo, did you hear Gabrus gets $50 a call to pretend to be a guy getting pranked by radio stations? Like that was like a sought after gig when coming up. I was like, oh man. And then that was other people were like jealous of it. And then
can we people are like do it?
Yeah.
Like, can we do it again? Like, do you have any like contacts still where we could possibly go and like Brian and I and you could like do a couple of them, you know? We could show them our chops, be like, we have a podcast specific, we understand this stuff super well, you know.
Yeah, I mean it was mostly just they're like, and we need you to just flip out. Just like I'm like on my shitty Nokia in my fucking Brooklyn apartment screaming, how could you do this to me, Cynthia? How could you fucking cheat on me?
Oh, of course, in War of the Roses. War of the Roses. I remember now. You did War of the Roses.
I mean, I wanted to do radio like so bad that I think if I had gotten even that far into it, like it's so funny how quickly it happened where it was like, you know, I'm sure you guys had the same thing where like if I could just get on the radio, I'd be happy. That would be like my career. Like as a DJ on the radio, I get to tell like I get to do like 5 minutes at a time between like Theory of a Dead Man songs. That would be fucking great. And it changed like almost overnight where it's like, okay, if like now, right? If they offered me a job on the radio, I'd tell them to eat shit. You know, it was like one day that was the dream job. The next day it was like, no thanks.
Yeah.
I would turn it down. These guys should be into podcasting. They should be doing what we're doing. We shouldn't be jumping back to that.
So the Loper and Randy is the morning show team here. And they're just like, I mean, I think that like, I don't think they make a lot of money, but I think they get to go to concerts and stuff. you know, and hang out with, like,
but like you can just get a regular job and go to concerts by getting a ticket,
but it's free for them. Yeah. And they probably get to meet, like, you know what I mean? Like somebody comes
breaking Benjamin makes, but they get to go to like concerts and any event that the radio station is giving shit away to. Right. Like, and that, that seems like a pretty solid, like if SiriusXM wants to give me a morning radio show, I will fucking take one.
You'll take it.
I would take an afternoon
radio. Yeah, yeah, maybe mornings kind of suck.
I would turn it down, a radio gig, but I wouldn't tell them to go fuck themselves because I have a friend who is actually looking for a gig in radio right now, name of Greg Hughes. And so I would pass on his information to say, if you're looking for a good host, this guy's been doing it since he's 18 years old, for crying out loud.
Let me send you a reel. This has him interviewing celebrities, doing pre-recorded bits with trees. I think you're going to like it.
I think you're going to like it.
The tree bit. Oh, my God. Opie will hire you, but you have to bring the tree bit.
Yeah. How can we make the tree bit work on radio? That's like a big discussion at corporate.
Imagine 20 years from now, he's like 85 years old doing a live stream. He's like, oh, Anthony says he came up with the tree bit. Sam says he did. He sucks. I fucking hate him.
God rest his soul.
If he doesn't make up with Anthony, if they don't make up now that Anthony's dead, or in all honesty, in the hospital for a month now. Like, if they can't make up now,
they're not going to. It's way too far gone, and they were never good friends to begin with. So that's why I think they never had any foundation to build off of.
You know? Right. I think a third party would have to come to them and be like, "Hey, both of you guys are sad, desperate, and broke. I think if we do something together, I can guarantee this amount of money for a year or whatever. I bet you they would both fucking swallow all their pride.
You're so
and sit across
right,
from
dude,
each other for like $75,000 a year. Yeah.
They would smile for a fucking, for $65,000 or whatever. They would smile and grin through it like, hey, how you doing, Anthony? You know?
Oh, man. Whip them out.
When Opie starts his Patreon, when Opie finally just decides to start his Patreon, I'm signing up as soon as he has, like, you know, we've talked about this with Michael Nolan, one of the guys I follow. He got a Patreon. I was like, oh, I'm gonna sign up for it. I went to his Patreon. He had two patrons, and I was like, well, I don't want him to know I'm making fun of him.
I don't need to be 33% of his audience is here as a bit.
But Opie getting a Patreon would make me immeasurably happy if we could see how many people.
Why he doesn't do it, because you realize you can't keep the amount of people private. You can keep the money, but you can't keep the amount of people private. So he knows that, and I think he's smart enough to realize based on his numbers that that would be an incredibly embarrassing thing for him to do.
Ryan's just trying to collect 90s legends challenge coins for his collection.
Don't sign up for more Patreon.
I'm gonna sign if you know of a Patreon. You see, I have this challenge coin here. This Kevin,
if you know of a Patreon, did you just say like just
any Patreon? Because challenge coins, I'll sign up in a second.
Well, the Action Boys are gonna add a challenge coin tier just to fucking dupe one fucking rube from Ohio.
Nope, I'm coming. I'm on my way. I'd love an Action Boys challenge coin, and I'm gonna make a challenge coin too.
Yeah. So. I won't have anything to do with that.
Yeah, keep my name off of that. Challenge
with all the money, I'm gonna go to Palau, and it's gonna be fucking official, like, currency. It's gonna be
okay. That's the chive coins are official currency in some fucking small little country that like allows them to do it, so they can sell them to people and say that they're official currency. It's the big, it's like crypto level scam, honestly.
When you get an actual coin, though. Well, that is the show. Gabrus, did you have anything you wanted to plug?
Yeah, check out. I have a Patreon. I have a podcast called High and Mighty that Brian's been on, and I got to have Chris on. And then I got a Patreon podcast called Action Boys, where we discuss action movies for longer than their runtime. Average episode length, 3 hours. Don't think it's for everybody, but we have a lot of fun and we care a lot. So it's a good time.
It's great. It's great. We will see you next week with Man Cow.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Get your goatees ready.